there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Makeshift Stories presents a monthly journey into the improbable.
Today's story, episode 216, Augmented Afterlife. Read by Mitchell Two. Opening and closing theme by Matthew Erdman. Somewhere and sometime, disassembling a program might be considered murder. Is there anything else you have? More photos or video? Maybe a personal journal? It doesn't have to be digital. I can convert almost anything. Betamax, VHS, even Super 8 films. It all helps. The more information we have, the more accurate the avatar will be. Marianne, the AR architect hired by the executor, asked as a matter of form. Older people often have a box of memorabilia hidden at the back of the closet, she explained, and don't realize it can all be digitized. That kind of stuff is a gold mine for the machine learning algorithms. It gives them a more in-depth understanding of the recently departed, and as a paid add-on, you can have the ability to adjust the age of your loved one's avatar at will.
I thought the estate covered all the costs, Jackson complained, distractedly checking his smartwatch for messages.
It was the only extra the executor didn't ask for, Marianne shrugged.
Well, I want it, he demanded petulantly. If I'm going to have to live with the old coot's avatar, at least I want to be able to adjust it. Maybe I'll make it into a 6-week-old, so it can't nag me.
That won't be possible unless you have the data of your uncle at that age, and most people don't,
Marianne pointed out, starting to pack up her equipment. I'm sure he kept everything, Jackson fumed. He was a bit of an egotist, you know. So there's got to be old videos, photos, diaries someplace. I'll find them. Don't compile his profile before I get them to you.
Sorry, the executor wants this done in 2 weeks. I need 3 days for the AI to build a personality matrix. So that gives you 10, Mr. Daniels, to get any additional data to me.
That's not enough time, Jackson began to complain.
You'll need to take it up with the lawyers. The estate has already passed on the data the deceased insisted be included. I could do a build right now. However, in fairness, the executor has gone out of their way to give you a window to contribute data you'd like to incorporate.
How much? Jackson finally grumbled after staring at the woman for a minute, trying to read her. He decided he didn't like Marianne. She was the kind of person who wouldn't budge an inch to even help someone in need. Probably saw him as a spoiled kid who never had to struggle. But that wasn't true. She knew nothing about Uncle Victor and the thorn the old man had been in his and his mother's lives.
How much for what, Mr. Daniels?
How much for the ability to control the old goat's age? Marianne typed something into her tablet, then spun it around so Jackson could see the results. He leaned over and looked, then dropped back into his chair and massaged his temples. That's outrageous. It'll clean me out, Jackson protested.
Afterlife avatars are expensive, especially one with the degree of accuracy your uncle insisted on. They're in a class of their own and take considerable resources to generate and maintain.
Couldn't I just add an upgrade after it goes live? Jackson suggested. I would have access to the estate then.
No, it doesn't work that way. Avatars at this level have rights. See, Mr. Daniels, they are not a fixed representation of your dearly departed. They experience, remember, and evolve as they interact with the world. Some believe they might even be conscious. It's why people about to die want them. Some see an afterlife avatar as a way to extend their lives. Let me assure you, our company has never encouraged that perception. Our avatars are interactive digital memorials. However, only a court order can turn one off. After they begin passing Turing tests, the government was pressured into protecting them from the occasional spiteful relative.
Marianne threw Jackson a knowing look.
If you really want age control, I'll need the money and the data by the 17th. That gives you 9 days. I understand your uncle was a very wealthy man. Borrow the money. I'm sure once you have access to the estate, you can pay it back. I also offer other custom AR mods and special requests if the money is right. Implemented before final compilation, of course.
Marianne winked.
You've got my contact info in case you find a sack of cash or Bitcoin in the next few days. I don't accept bank cards for that type of work.
Jackson groaned as he struggled to open his eyes. No one had bothered to prepare him for the intensity of the post-operative headache. He suspected this was another term in the execution of the will. Paragraph 2.1.A. My nephew's mind cannot be dulled by painkillers when he receives his AR implants. The old man had always been suspicious of anything which might cloud his mind. He didn't drink, he never took painkillers or drugs of any kind. A stubborn belief which, Jackson suspected, along with his compromised coronary arteries, contributed to his ultimate, untimely demise.
Feeling any better?
The cheery voice of the private clinic's medical tech questioned from the door.
No, Jackson complained. I'd like you to rip this stuff out of my head. My eyes are burning and the headache.
They'll pass in an hour or two.
The tech interrupted, walking over to Jackson's bed to check the readings on a monitor.
We can't give you anything that impairs function. Your brain needs to adjust to the cochlear ear implants and AR lens. Also, we can't just rip them out. They're wired into your brain. The procedure is not reversible.
If you had read the waiver you signed...
I'd read it, I know. I can't sue you for anything. He grunted. The tech's expression said she had heard this all before.
I'll be back in 3 hours to do final tests and prep you for release. Many of our patients find listening to music helps them relax. We have a great selection. Just ask the room.
The tech quickly left. Jackson heard another door open down the hall. The perky voice asked the other room's occupant how they were doing.
Awful!
Jackson yelled, hoping the other patient would hear him, then rolled onto his side, which only made his headache worse. As soon as his new implants were turned on permanently, he felt as if a sheet of glass had been slid between himself and the world. It was not so much that it isolated him from reality, as from now on, there would always be an intermediator adding to and, he suspected, taking away from what he heard and saw. He had never been interested in augmented senses, preferring the full-on truth as far as his brain could organically determine it. Could he ever trust his senses again? It was disputed territory he had never expected to find himself in. Distance, temperature, names flooded into his vision, overwhelming him and attaching themselves to objects and the person sitting across from him.
Mr. Daniels, please pay attention.
The legal assistant queried impatiently, checking a handheld on her desk.
I've initiated the system as per the conditions in your uncle's will. You should be seeing the data layer now. Blink twice and press your thumb to the fingerprint reader on the desk to accept the feed.
Jackson blinked and pressed. The data seemed to settle down.
Focus on me and tell me what you are getting.
Your name is Sophia Matos. You're a legal assistant 3 with an IT specialization, and you have been with Matters and Santos for 3 years and 1 month.
That's great. Focusing on an object or person will bring up associated information. Your uncle insisted we subscribe to one of the best data warehouses. You'll find the data is quite extensive. You're a lucky person, Mr. Daniels. Not many people can afford this level of service. You'll have access to everything that is legally available, and maybe then some,
Sophia hinted.
Look up to the top left. That'll turn off all but the essential data, but the full system is still active. You can't completely shut it down.
Can't shut it down? I'm not sure I like that,
Jackson griped, flicking his eyes to the upper left.
Most people consider it a feature. If you get in an accident or fall ill, the implants will alert emergency services.
Still, it feels invasive.
Sophia's eyes looked unfocused for a few seconds, an expression Jackson associated with AR-enhanced people. He cringed at the thought of himself soon adopting that same vacant face.
Miss Santos is ready to see you,
she announced, then led him into a sumptuously appointed meeting room. The senior partner was much younger than Jackson had imagined. He had always thought of senior executives as curmudgeonly white-haired old men with overbearing personalities, like his uncle. Santos looked barely 30, dressed in expensive but casual clothes. If Jackson had met her on the street, he guessed he would have never known she owned the most prestigious legal firm in the Northwest. The lawyer smiled and beckoned him to sit. Jackson noted there was nothing in front of her, not a pile of paper, a laptop, or even a cell phone. Santos noted his surprise.
The reading will be done in AR. There's no need for papers or computers. My assistant and I will be present in the virtual meeting to witness you hear and accept the conditions. I am assuming you are not going to object to anything?
She shot Jackson a questioning look. When he didn't respond, she continued.
We will confirm your acceptance with biometrics.
I thought you would read the will, Jackson questioned.
It's a little unusual, but your uncle insisted his avatar present it. Before you object, we checked for other precedents. You would have to prove your uncle was not of sound mind when he directed us to add this and other, shall we say, unique conditions to his will. He submitted to a psychological evaluation at the time of signing. It's included in the package, if you would like to read it.
You don't have much choice, Mr. Daniels. You either accept the terms or forfeit the inheritance.
What else does he want?
Jackson asked, fear beginning to set in. Santos shrugged.
I don't know. Your uncle didn't allow us to read the actual will. Only his avatar can unlock it. Unfortunately, as much as this account is important to us, we have other business to attend to. So, if you have no further objections, let's proceed.
Sophia, I see that Mr. Huffman's avatar is requesting access to the meeting.
Just a quick word of warning. The avatar is powered by a dedicated Turing-level AI, so it's extremely smart.
Jackson reluctantly nodded his consent, and the legal assistant tapped something on her tablet. A deep, scratchy voice intentionally cleared its virtual throat.
It's about time, the avatar complained. I've paid enough for this circus. At least it could run on time.
Jackson swung around to see his uncle enter the room, but not the old, sickly, angry man he had grown up with, but the younger, vigorous patriarch he had seen in a few of his mother's rare family photos.
Miss Santos, Miss Matos, thank you for arranging this meeting.
The grumpy patriarch nodded as politely as he could, which meant he still looked angry at the legal team, before acknowledging Jackson.
And of course, hello, nephew. You've packed on a bit since I died, Jack.
The avatar smirked.
Just like your granddad's side of the family. I'm sure you've seen the photos. He ended up being quite a big one. Genetics are always a bit of a lottery. Some of us win and some...
The avatar scanned Jackson's body with evident disgust.
Are not so lucky.
Jackson felt his blood pressure rise. The avatar knew exactly how to get under his skin, just like its former flesh and blood version.
I can't honestly admit to being happy to see you, Uncle Victor.
Jackson spat back, trying to remind himself the illusion was only software, not the old, cold-hearted schmuck he and his mother despised. I see death and digital transformation hasn't changed you for the better. He turned to face Santos. Any chance I can still add to its personality database? The lawyer simply shook her head.
You need to hear the directives in the will from this version of your uncle's avatar, unless you want to forfeit your inheritance.
Victor's digital doppelganger sat, smirking, while Jackson and Santos consulted, then chose to strategically interrupt them before they finished.
You would not be my first choice, Jackson. if I had any other living relative. You despise me, and I think you're a lazy hipster who can't even hold a part-time job in a coffee shop because it compromises your ethics. So, we're even. Now, enough wasting time hating each other, down to business.
The Avatar stood up without moving its chair and walked through the table to stand over Jackson.
Here's the deal, Jack. You can have my estate, which includes a controlling interest in my real estate development company. You will become one of the richest people in the country and the president of Avian Corp. On one condition. You must follow my direction running Avian. You will become my proxy, so I can continue to control the company. The second you make a decision on your own, you will forfeit everything. Is that clear?
Ignoring the Avatar's demand, Jackson began to spew out years of pent-up hate.
Why do you think Mom and I tried to get as far away from you as possible? You always needed to be in control, be the wise old family patriarch. Mom wasn't good enough for you, was she? We barely scraped by. At least she was doing something she believed in, something that brought joy to people, rather than exploit them. But you, the great president, needed a sister who was more than a singer in an obscure cover band. You needed a sister who could impress your business associates and build the family success story. She was an embarrassment to you, and so was I.
The Victor Avatar laughed.
That may be so, but you never rejected my money when you needed to get bailed out, did you? That's why I knew you wouldn't walk away from this, Jackson. You and I share more than genetics. You want power just as much as I do, and you'll do just as much as I did to get it. The only difference is you haven't been honest enough to admit it to yourself. Now, just say yes to the terms and give yourself over to your true nature.
I'm nothing like you,
Jackson blurted out, then jumped angrily up to grab the old man's virtual throat. His hand passed through empty air, and the Avatar laughed again.
There are advantages to being dead. Stop wasting time on pointless gestures and say yes to accept what you really are.
I'm obligated to tell you there are limitations you should be aware of before you agree.
Santos interrupted. Startled, Jackson swung around, knocking a glass of water over. He tried nervously to mop up the mess with a paper napkin.
Sorry. I forgot where I was. It seems so real for a moment. It's just software, like a pre-recorded message, right?
He pleaded with his eyes.
It's not exactly a pre-recorded message. The AI behind the Avatar knows enough about your uncle to understand how he would react. Technically, it's a generative adversarial network, the legal assistant explained, and it's 98% accurate. One of the best on the market.
There are a few things you need to understand, Jackson, Santos interrupted. I'm sure you've already been told it has specific rights under the law. Once turned on, the Avatar evolves over time, becoming a unique entity. 5 years ago, in a similar situation, surviving family members wanted to turn off the Avatar of their sister. The system took them to court, arguing it had become self-aware, and won the right to determine if and when it wanted to be shut down. If you say yes, the Avatar of your uncle will be moved from development to full production. Once that happens,
I can't turn it off. I'm committed.
Jackson confirmed, marveling at how easy it had been to grow accustomed to the luxury of the last few days.
But it doesn't have access to my implant 24/7. There are limits, correct?
Yes, of course. The Avatar will have the same access to you as its living predecessor had.
Sophia, the assistant, patiently explained.
For example, it won't be able to turn on in your home without asking permission. That's the AR equivalent of knocking on the door. Public spaces are different, of course. It has free range in them like any living person. Washrooms, etc. are off-limits as well, unless you choose to override the defaults and grant it more intimate contact. Some people do.
You'll work the same hours I did,
Victor's avatar interrupted rudely.
They're long days, but that's what it takes to be a success like me. Outside of that, I don't care what you do with your time, as long as it doesn't negatively affect our corporate image.
And that lifestyle contributed to your death,
Jackson shot back.
Jack, it's time to suck it up and become something.
Jackson scratched at the starchy collar of the white shirt and loosened his tie so he didn't feel like he was strangling. The Victor avatar had insisted on the new wardrobe, and specifically the type of shirt, tie, and cut of the suit, to hide Jackson's overindulgence in nacho chips and lack of exercise. He undid the top button on his jacket just to spite the curmudgeonly AI, then entered the room.
"You need to look the part," it had insisted.
The boardroom table was lined with equally uncomfortable-looking managers and VPs, their names and positions hovering above each in Jackson's AR display. The avatar had taken a position to one side of the projection screen, opposite the empty chair at the head of the table where Jackson was to sit. Following his virtual uncle's direction, he confidently moved to his seat without saying a word, settled into his chair, and stared into the eyes of each person, letting an awkward silence prevail, then subtly nodded at the VP of operations. She immediately stood up.
"I'd like to introduce Mr. Jackson Daniels, Victor's nephew. He is now the majority shareholder in Avian Corp and will hold the dual positions of board chair and president."
After silence greeted her announcement, the VP began to clap. Taking their cue, the group responded with polite, unenthusiastic applause. Jackson simply nodded as scripted.
"Let's move on to business," he directed. "Miss Castellanos, please proceed."
The VP dutifully sat down, opened her laptop, and the projection screen flicked to life.
"This is our new development, Huffman Center, a multi-tower, mixed-use complex to be built on newly purchased land, a former park in an established city neighborhood. This was Victor's dream," the VP added with emphasis.
Jackson watched as a map appeared on the screen and zoomed in on an all-too-familiar area. A green outline highlighted the footprint of the project. He felt his neck swell against the itchy, stiff collar and hoped his face wasn't turning red. Jackson's eyes flicked over to Victor's avatar. The thing was laughing. The project would ruin the neighborhood Jack had spent most of his adult life fighting to preserve. It had been the only consistent thread in his otherwise rudderless career.
"Victor," he started to growl before text appeared in his AR vision. "Objecting to this will forfeit your inheritance."
Jackson's knuckles turned white as he tried to crush the armrests of his chair.
"You were recommended by Marianne. She was the person who compiled the avatar," Jackson explained nervously, watching text messages from Victor scroll through the corner of his vision.
"Excuse me, I'm going to have to deal with it for a second. It's messaging me nonstop. I'll be back in a minute."
"What?"
he angrily texted back.
"The workday doesn't end at 5, Jackson," the Victor avatar pointed out. "There are decisions needing to be made on the Huffman Center project. I warned you about this when you agreed to the conditions. The workday never ends. We need a face-to-face meeting to discuss the project details."
"I'm on the toilet, then I'm taking a shower. I'm allowed private time. That doesn't break the agreement. I'll connect with you in 20 minutes.
Jackson texted through his links, then switched back to the burner phone he bought to contact Marianne's darknet programmer.
"You're wanting an awful lot. What do I get for that?"
he groused.
"There is a surcharge for work which could result in jail time," the distorted voice advised. "You get a worm which attacks the avatar's underlying neural net, disassembling the cohesion of its artificial synapses. The worm then causes a hardware failure and erases itself without a trace. It will piggyback in on your connection when you say yes, yes in a voice or text message. Completely untraceable, it will look like an infrastructure problem."
"Are you sure?"
"My price reflects my skills."
Jackson smiled to himself.
"Uncle Victor, thanks for waiting," Jackson texted. the avatar materialized next to the picture window in Jackson's downtown apartment, staring out at the place where the Huffman Center would stand. Jackson had insisted on staying in the apartment, despite Victor's objections. The compromise was that Avian now owned the entire building, and Jackson was now the only tenant.
"So, Uncle," he spat, "what was so important that I couldn't finish taking a shower?"
"Jack."
The avatar turned away from the window.
"Now that we own this building, we have everything on this side of the street."
The news surprised Jackson.
"We can expand the footprint. I want you to get the architects on the modifications right away. This will be the icing on my cake. I want the revised development application in front of City Hall before the next election. We have enough support right now to push this through."
"But that's in 2 weeks," Jackson protested.
"Hence why this is more important than shampooing your hair."
"Yes, yes, Victor, you're right, as always." Jackson tried to hide the smugness in his response. The avatar immediately contorted, as if a knife had been driven into its stomach. Accusing eyes burnt back at him.
"Uncle, what's happening?"
Jackson feigned concern. There was no one else in the meeting room when Jackson arrived an hour early to practice his speech to announce the cancellation of the Huffman Center project. He was reading through his notes when his AR implants received a ping.
"Authorization granted," the system announced without waiting for acceptance.
"Stop," he commanded, then looked up from his work as something flickered in the periphery of his vision.
"Jackson,"
the familiar voice extolled as his uncle pixelated into existence.
"Surprised? Didn't you think I would have a backup? I'm proud of you. Virtual murder. I would have done the same. I've attached a file of you and that dark web troll's last discussion,"
the Victor avatar smugly announced, then gave Jackson a smile which didn't reach its eyes.
"I'll send it to Santos if you try that again, or don't do what I say. Now, down to business."
Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. To get other great APN podcasts, head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com and take a listen to Real Learning with Real People and join Ken King in conversation with folks grinding to get the most out of life and work, from athletes to astronauts. This episode of Makeshift Stories is brought to you by Shift Pod Power. With Pod Power, our sponsors are making it possible for us to amplify the voices of Albertans and Alberta podcasters. This episode, Edmonton Community Foundation is helping us give a Pod Power shout-out to Is This For Real? Is This For Real is a podcast about various facets of Black life in Edmonton. In the first season of the show, Breaking the Blue Wall, host Omar Salifu explores anti-Black racism and policing, and tells stories about policing in schools, accountability in Alberta's policing system, and the impacts of police violence on Black Edmontonians. You can listen to the podcast and read more about each episode at isthisforreal.ca. You can also support the work of these podcasters and future seasons on Patreon. This episode of Makeshift Stories is also brought to you by ATB Financial. At ATB, we make banking work for you, with expert and practical advice in everyday banking and investment planning expertise and management services with ATB Wealth. You can be confident that you're making smart choices when it comes to your money.
We have a history of doing what's right for our clients, especially when times are tough, because ATB was built to help Albertans. For more information, visit ATB.com. This month's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Too. Opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by Matthew Erdman. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Links to both are in the show notes. You can help us out by getting your friends to subscribe wherever they listen to audio. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.